Brother Aaron's sermon text will be in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that Brother Aaron would have edifying words, Lord. I pray that that you would bless the rest of this meeting, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
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 We've come to good places in Christ Jesus. These are places that we had to be led into. We have to be led beside the still waters. And we have to be brought into the heavenly place. We had to be seated in the heavenly places. We don't stumble into these places. We don't climb up into these places. We're brought there. And boy, they're good places. And so we're looking around, and as we minister to one another, we're telling what we see, where the place that we've been brought. And it's such a wonderful place. This Hebrews chapter 5 is one of these places that I come to often in my own heart. There are places that Jesus resorted often. There were places that, you know, Judas knew these places. The disciples knew these places. He was often there. And Paul, he was regularly in the synagogue. It wasn't uncommon for Paul the apostle to be reasoning in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He was often in those places. And there are places like this in the scriptures that we often go there. We often, as Hebrews 5 is a place that I often go, and I think of the senses that are exercised to discern both good and evil. The New American Standard says by constant use, that meat, it's by constant use. The King James says even those who by reason of use. So the scriptures, we need to be in constant use of the scriptures. Who by reason of use, our senses are exercised to discern both good and evil. Jesus told the apostles at one point that I have many things to say to you. Jesus is still saying many things today. He had many things to say. This is not something, this was not a work that could be done in a day or a week or a year. He labored for 3 years with the apostles, and then even after he left, he still taught them. And Jesus is still teaching today. He's still speaking today. He's still leading today because he has many things to say.
Amen.
He has many. How many times have you come to the scriptures again and you heard more? It's because Jesus has many things to say unto you. But he had to say it at when he was still in this world. He had to say, but you cannot bear them now. There was a place, there was a time where the apostles were, they could not hear the many things. Now be sure he told them what they could bear, but he didn't tell them what they couldn't bear. When the time came by reason of use, then he told them the things that they could not bear. And when the time comes that you can bear them, be sure Jesus is going to give them. When you have ears to hear, Jesus is going to say them. And it's by reason of use, your senses are exercised to discern both good and evil. See, everyone in Christ is born as a babe. Everyone starts out hearing words that we don't understand. We start hearing the elementary principles, the milk of the word. We desire the milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Everybody starts with brand new senses. And they have to be exercised. The senses have to be exercised. The eyes have to be calibrated. And the ears have to be put to use. And the taste has to be exercised. And as these senses are exercised, you'll discern good and evil. We have to grow up. In our understanding, we have to become men. Now, that's not talking about gender. That's talking about maturity. In understanding, be men. It's full age that the Lord is giving. He's giving this the increase to bring us to full age. Those by reason of use are of full age. The strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. We don't want to be always children. Everyone starts out as children, but there's nothing designed in the kingdom to keep us as children.
That's right.
There's nothing in redemption that limits someone to being immature.
Amen.
In fact, there were times that Jesus indicated that the apostles were kind of lagging behind. He says, are you still without understanding? He was provoking them. He's provoking them to understand. Be men. To grow up. Romans 12 verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That indicates that without the renewing of the mind, you won't be able to get it. You're not going to be able to lay hold on or to lay hold on the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But by the renewing of your mind, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. See, being immature and lagging behind makes you miss all kinds of things.
Amen.
You miss all kinds of things in the kingdom. We want to grow up. See, no one has the full age senses by instinct. See, there are some things that God just put into creatures. They didn't have to learn it. It didn't have to be given to them. They didn't have to acquire it and learn and fail and trial. They just know it. And we call that instinct. God doesn't give the knowledge of His perfect will by instinct. It's got to be proven that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And likewise, no one stumbles into knowing the will of God. What is this? Prove that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we have to be exercised to prove. Paul admonished Timothy to exercise himself unto godliness. Put these things to use.
Amen.
Exercise yourself unto godliness. There are these senses in Christ, they have to be developed. Exercise yourself unto godliness. They have to be strengthened, they have to be built up. We regularly admonish one another about being built up in the most holy faith. That has to do with maturity, with growing up, with our senses being exercised so that we can hear the still small voice. Another thing that exercises is chastening. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 11 says we are exercised therein by chastening. The chastening of the Lord is likened to a chisel that shapes a stone. It is likened to pruning that makes a tree more fruitful. It's like breaking up the fallow ground. It can be painful. No chastening is pleasant for the time. But afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So breaking up the fallow ground of the heart and the mind and the soul, and it's exercising. God exercises His children. He's not going like of the ancient people. When they were in the wandering in the wilderness, He said, you've camped around this mountain long enough. He's like shooing them on. he was exercising them. Go on. The Lord still does that today. See, we deal with our children's senses. The Lord in chastening, He's exercising our senses. And that's how we raise our children. We raise our children with the Lord in mind. Not just, I appreciate Sister Michelle's word this morning. We're not raising our children with a career in mind or with we're not primarily with this world in mind. We're raising our children with the world to come in mind. And so when I make it conducive by different means for my children to submit to me, then I'm exercising them actually to be submitted to the Lord.
Amen.
And when I demand that my children listen to me, I'm actually exercising them to listen to the Lord.
Amen.
And see that the soul of the child needs to be exercised. This world, brethren, is like a marketplace where every kind of ware is sold. This world, there is no shortage of trinkets to buy in this world. There is no shortage of miscellaneous wares and toys and idols and spices and distractions and lies and pleasures for a season. The marketplace of this world has no shortage of offerings of this type. In this market, you can buy Babylonian garments and wedges of gold. In this marketplace, you can buy 30 pieces of silver, and you can buy rewards of men. You can buy weights. Now, they're not labeled. This is a weight. but they sell them nonetheless, and they'll weigh you down. You can buy in this marketplace the praise of men, and you can buy comforts for the flesh, and you can buy husks of corn in this marketplace. They sell them. They sell husks of corn in the marketplace of this world. This world, they sell wandering stars and clouds that don't have water. See, all of these influences, they're all vying for attention. They're all vying for your affection. They're all vying for your eyes and for your ears, for your mind, for your soul. They're all vying for, but one thing is needful. See, in all of this marketplace, we're searching for the pearl. The pearl of great price. And brethren, when you find it, sell everything you have and buy the one pearl. See, your senses have to be exercised so when you find the pearl, you know this is the pearl. And it's worth everything. You got it. You buy without money. You come and you buy it. You buy it without money. Now, how many senses do you really need to be functional when you're in this kind of marketplace? Because it's not only buying and selling. It's also a battleground. There's all kinds of buying and selling going on, but there's all kinds of warring going on as well. So how many senses do you really need? This body has five. The new creature has a lot more. But how many senses do you need to be functioning when you're in this place of peril, where lies are being peddled, and where price tags are being changed around, and where arrows are flying through the air in every direction? How many senses do you need? And how well do you need them to work? There are dangers and there are provisions as you're marching through this marketplace. There are things that need to be bought up and not sold, right? Buy the truth and sell it not. But there are dangers and there are provisions. There are friends and there are enemies. And there are a lot of enemies that will pose as friends as you're walking through this marketplace of life. There's honey dripping in some woods, and there's death in some of the pots. And we need help. We need help to know when to eat the honey. And we need help of when to warn everybody that there's death in the pot. See, our senses need to be acute. They need to be exercised because all of this is going on in this marketplace called this present evil world. We have to be alert when we go down to the water to drink. Even when the water's quiet, and you go down to the water to drink, to be refreshed, you got to be alert. There are snares hidden by the enemy. There are fiery darts flying in every direction. But, brethren, grace also much more abounds. Amen. See, the senses are not just defensive. The senses are also receptive. See, it doesn't appear that grace much more abounds than sin. You just ask the average person on the street. You could even ask the seasoned journalists and get a reckoning from them. In this world, does sin or righteousness have the upper hand? And the common consensus will be sin has the upper hand. But when your senses are exercised, you can say with Paul, grace does much more abound.
Amen.
See, in this marketplace, he prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemies. See, in the midst of our enemies is actually a place to be nourished. It's not just a place to hunker down and hope you survive. There's provision in the midst of your enemies. But we have to have senses to see the table. You gotta have exercise senses like to smell the aroma of the provision. And you have to have senses exercised to see in the midst of the enemies. He's spread a table. A table in the midst of our enemies. A musician's ears are exercised to hear the notes. And an architect's eyes are exercised to see and design. The physician's mind is exercised to diagnose. And the chef's senses are exercised to taste and to smell. Brethren, the children of God are born with senses for the eternal. There are senses for the eternal. What we see is much greater than what the architect sees in the building. And what we taste is much greater than what the chef tastes at his table. The new creature has senses that are from above. And they have to be exercised. They're superior senses. They're much more senses. They're senses that are from God. See, there are eyes. Your eye should be single.
Yes.
If your eye is single, that's one of these senses. If your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. And where there's light, there is no stumbling. If your eye be single, see, that's why Paul prayed that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened. Because these senses have to be exercised. Open, the enlightened eye is the eye that can see the unseen. It can see the eternal. That's why John the Apostle says, "Behold how great a love." It's not just a matter of thinking, it's looking. Behold how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us. It's a wonderful thing to look at the love of God.
Amen.
Behold, it's such a great love that He's made us His own children. Behold how great, there is no other love like this.
Amen.
He's made us His own children. He's brought us into his own house. There was a time that Elisha and the young man with him was surrounded by enemies. And Elisha, he wasn't troubled by this at all, but the young man was very troubled by it. And it came down to a matter of what Elisha saw and what the young man didn't see. Elisha wasn't troubled by the army that surrounded him because he saw that the hosts that were on Elisha's side was much greater than the hosts that were against Elisha, but the young man didn't see it until the prophet prayed for the young man and his senses were opened. His senses were exercised, and when he saw the whole mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire, boy, the fear just fled away. The worry can just fly away. It can just take wings and fly away when your senses are exercised. Now, there's times that people see men as trees walking. Now, the Lord did this. The Lord, He prayed. He put mud and He prayed. And what do you see? He said, "I see as men as trees walking." And the Lord didn't say, "Well, at least it's better than it was." No, He exercised the senses.
Amen.
He did it again so that He saw perfectly clear.
Amen.
The Lord is giving exercised senses. I've had time that I see men as trees walking. I think you have too.
Yes.
And we shouldn't be content to just see men as trees walking.
Amen.
And we shouldn't be content to just leave brethren seeing men as trees walking.
Amen.
There's grace to exercise the senses.
Amen.
Here's another sense, which is ears. The sense of hearing, the Lord opens ears.
Amen.
What's the difference between your time past and the time now? The Lord opened ears.
Yes.
He opened your ears to hear the truth. He opens hearts, He opens eyes, He opens ears. That sense has to be exercised. The ears, how many times did the Lord speak about hearkening? Hearken unto me. Hear, He said, and your soul shall live.
Yeah.
Hear, and your soul shall live. Jesus said, "Let these sayings sink down into your
ears,
not brain. If they sink down into your ears, they will be in your brain. They will be in your mind if they sink down into your ears." But still small voice. See, you have to have exercised ears to hear a still small voice. It's still. It's consistent, but it's still. And it's powerful, but it's small. A still small voice. Exercised ears can hear this. See, Eli, he caught on that Samuel was actually being called by the Lord. Samuel didn't. And so Eli finally, after three times, was it? Eli finally said, "When this happens again, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" And Samuel's ears were exercised. That's that. The Lord has done that with all of us. With all of us. There's a time that Jesus prayed. God answered Jesus out of heaven. He answered Him audibly out of heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." And some Jesus heard what was said. But there were some that just thought it thundered. And there were others that thought it was a little more than thunder. They said an angel spoken to him. What happened there? There were different kind of ears that heard. There were some unexercised ears that thought it was just thunder. But then there were some other ears that were maybe being opened, and they thought it was an angel. But Jesus, he had exercised ears. He heard what was said. Brethren, we don't want to be dull of hearing.
Amen.
This letter of Hebrews, where our text is written to people who were dull of hearing. And actually, they missed out on some things because they were dull of hearing. The Spirit had to tell them, I have many things to say about this Melchizedek, but I can't say them because you're dull of hearing. Dull of hearing is never good.
Amen.
Now Philip heard the Spirit say, go join yourself to that chariot. He didn't hear that and think, oh, it thundered. He heard he had ears to hear. The Spirit said to him, go join yourself to that chariot. Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, if any man hear my voice. Yeah. See, the ears have to be exercised. They have to be exercised to discern between good and evil. Here's another sense that has to be exercised, and that's taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Right.
Now, there are people that have tasted something from the Lord and not said that it's good. There was a man who walked away sad.
Yeah.
Taste and see the Lord's good.
Yeah.
We might say that in the world they say it's an acquired taste. In the kingdom we say it's a given taste. The taste has to be given to us. And so you eat the book, you eat the word, you drink in the water, and it tastes good.
Amen.
Well, that's the secret, if I could say it that way. Sweet in your mouth. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He tested what went to the king. Now the king's life depended on Nehemiah's senses. So I think Nehemiah was probably very sensitive about his palate. He was very discerning. The king wouldn't have appointed like a rash person to do this. That would have been a rather destructive appointment. I think Nehemiah would have been sensitive. His senses were trained. And so he had to approve what went to the king's table. So his senses were not just a little important. They were not just incidental. Oh yeah, I think that tastes okay. You can have it. No, the king's life, and in by import, the health of the whole kingdom depended on Nehemiah's senses.
Amen.
On his senses. His senses actually protected the king. His senses actually would detect the danger or the blessing of what went to the king's table. His senses did. I mean, like the king trusted Nehemiah. He was a cupbearer. Everything that went to the table had to be approved by Nehemiah. He was a cupbearer. So his senses were exercised. This is a life and death matter. This is not just a matter of Nehemiah making sure that the king liked it. No, it's making sure the king lived. It's making sure the king wasn't assassinated by what got in his food and in his drink. Our senses are a matter of life and death.
Amen.
There can be death in the pot because there are enemies at every hand. His senses were a defense. See, the Lord sets people in the body like this. They're like Nehemiah's. They're like Nehemiah's that can say, don't drink that. Don't eat that. It's like a cupbearer. And we want to give heed. We want to give heed to people who can taste.
Yeah.
Here's another sense of there's a sense of mind, of reckoning, of reasoning, of meditation. Meditate on these things, Paul told Timothy. Think about these things, yeah. Paul told the church at Philippi. Prove all things.
Yeah.
That'll keep you busy.
Amen.
Prove all things. That's the exercising of your mind. The Lord invites us to think with Him. Come, the Lord says, come, let's reason together. The Lord will teach us how to think about things. Come, let's reason together. I think it tells humanity something, that God from heaven sent a book. He didn't send a picture. He didn't send artwork. He sent a book. Now, I understand he drew pictures in nature and things like that, but we never would have got them unless he wrote about it. That's kind of the point of Romans chapter 1. Nobody got the message until God wrote about it and God told us about it and helped us think. And then we saw, oh, it's been there the whole time. But when it was just a picture, we missed it. Think about these things. That's why he said in Romans 12, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because it's like the mind is we're made in the image of God. The Lord has given us an image, a capacity to think with Him.
Yeah. Amen.
To reason together with God. To actually know God, which is eternal life. So come, let us reason together. The spirit that God has caused to dwell in you has senses. You've sensed sometimes this is not good. You just had a sense. You just had a witness in yourself that this is this inclination about this or about that, and you just had this sense in yourself. See, God, the Spirit testifies with your spirit.
Yeah.
This is a spiritual sense that has to be exercised. The Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. God, the Spirit is talking to us. He's given us a testimony. The Holy Spirit is convincing us that we're children. He's testifying to us that we are the children of God. There was a time when Paul was at Corinth. The Holy Spirit says this about Paul's time there. It says he was pressed in the Spirit. He was pressed. He reasoned with them daily. That is the time when Paul said, I go to the Gentiles. He reasoned with the Jews every Sabbath day in the synagogue, and he was pressed in the Spirit. And I take that to be the Lord's leading, go to the Gentiles.
Right.
He was pressed in the Spirit. He felt a burden above above the normal day's burden. He was pressed in his spirit. And the Lord directed him through that pressing, go to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
There was another time when Paul was stirred in the Spirit. It's in Athens. He was waiting on some brethren to come and catch up with him. He was in Athens. He was walking around, and he behold, all these monuments that were made to gods. God of this, God of that, unknown God. Huh, that got Paul's attention. But Paul was stirred by these things. The people of Athens weren't stirred like this because their senses were dead. Paul's senses were sensitive. And he saw all of these altars to these different gods, and he was stirred. He was stirred by them. And so then he delivered quite a message to them at Mars Hill. The soul and the spirit. See, there's an inward part of man that has a sensitivity that God uses. And with his word, he divides between soul and spirit. You can't use psychology to divide between soul and spirit.
Yeah.
Only the Word of God can divide between soul and spirit. The conscience is in the soul and in the spirit. God works with the conscience. He cleanses the conscience. There's a pricking in the conscience. That's what David called the reins. He says, I was pricked in my reins. See, God directs with the conscience, but the conscience has to be exercised. Paul addressed the matters of eating meat sacrificed to idols. Do we eat the meat that sacrificed to idols, or do we not eat the meat sacrificed? That's a matter that conscience was working on in that. Or do we observe this day above the other day, or do we observe every day alike? That's the conscience working with those things. And Paul didn't say, I have no idea. No, Paul could work with these things because his conscience was exercised.
Amen.
He could say that the meat that offered to an idol is nothing because the God it was offered to is nothing.
That's right.
There is only one God.
Amen.
See, his conscience was strong and could take a hold of that. And Paul lived like every day was a high day. Every day was a holy day to
Amen.
Paul. But he dealt with conscience of others, and he said, you all live to God. You all live under the Lord. If you observe the day, you observe it to the Lord. If you don't observe the day, you don't observe it to the Lord. See, he was leaving the conscience sensitive.
Yeah.
Leaving the conscience to be exercised by the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus had to address a difficult condition there that he was during his time. He said, you did not know the day of your visitation. Now, why didn't they know? Because they weren't told about it? No, the prophets foretold about these days, but they did not know the day of their visitation. The one that all of their scriptures had promised was right there with them, and they didn't know the day of their visitation. They didn't know it. The prophets were being fulfilled right before them, and they didn't know it. The law was being fulfilled right in front of them, and they didn't know it. They didn't know the day of their visitation. After John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God," they still didn't know it. After all the miracles that he could, and some people said, "Will the Christ do more miracles than this?" It had never been seen on this wise before. People saw, and people even talked among themselves and says, "We've never seen it on this wise before." But they did not know the day of their visitation. His fame spread abroad throughout the whole region, the scripture says. But they still didn't know the day of their visitation because their senses were dull. Their senses were not exercised. They claimed to be Moses' disciple, yet they rejected the one who Moses prophesied of. They said, "We are Abraham's children," and yet they rejected the seed of Abraham. So, brethren, don't judge by appearance. Exercise your senses.
Amen.
Be exercised in the Word. Be exercised to think with the Lord. Be exercised to make a righteous judgment. Don't judge by appearance. Back to Nehemiah. He had good senses during the construction work of the wall. He had good senses. There were some enemies that came and reasoned with him. "Come down from the wall and we got something to talk about." Nehemiah didn't give one moment. He didn't give them a hearing at all. And then they came and they offered, "We'll help you. We live in the region. We've been your neighbors, you know, and we want this good for you as well. And so we'll help you in the work." And Nehemiah wouldn't even give them an audience because Nehemiah's senses were exercised. He said, "You have no part in this work that God's given us to do." He wouldn't talk to him. He wouldn't let him help in the work. Now the mind of the flesh would say, "Hey, this would be a great relief. You know, we could give everybody longer breaks and have these foreigners come in and you know kind of breathe these different in and out. You go help them for a day." And Nehemiah didn't even think that way. He didn't let the foreigners take part of the work of God because his senses were exercised.
Yeah.
This is the work of God, done in the city of God, and it's going to be done by the people of God.
Amen.
Nehemiah's senses were exercised. Now, here's an example of a failure in that being slow of heart. Joshua was slow of heart, and he sat down and talked with those people that he was supposed to be driving out, and his senses were dull. And he ended up making a covenant with them. And just like the word of the Lord says, they were pricks in their eyes and they were thorns in their sides. Joshua made a covenant with the enemy, and the scripture says it's because he didn't inquire of the Lord. His senses were dull. He was slow of heart. He gave audience to the enemy. Brethren, don't talk with the enemy.
Amen.
There's no good in holding dialogue with a liar.
Amen.
Don't hold dialogue with the enemy. This is the kind of stuff that happens, and your senses will be will be damaged by it. Brethren, we need our senses to be exercised to discern good and evil. A few concluding thoughts. Barnabas, when he came to Antioch, he was sent by the church to Antioch. And when Barnabas got there, he saw the grace of God. How did he see it? What was it that he saw? He saw what grace did. He saw people that have been taught by grace to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, live soberly, righteously, and godly, and look for the blessed hope. When he saw that, he's seen grace. Because Barnabas, he had exercised senses. He went to Antioch looking for grace. I mean, that you got to have senses from above to see something from above.
Amen.
You got to be exercised by grace in order to see grace. And Barnabas saw the grace of God. The grace of God has a recognizable mark.
Amen.
There's a mark that of grace that only grace can make. And Barnabas saw what grace had done in the church at Antioch. I want to encourage you to be exercised by grace so that you can see grace. We see that's the secret of not knowing one another after the flesh. It's looking for grace. We want to look for grace. in one another. So I'll leave you with this thought. Of the senses that are exercised, we want to hear Him who is speaking from heaven. He is speaking from heaven. Now you got to have exercised senses to hear Him who is speaking from heaven. There are all kinds of voices in the world, but there's only one voice in the world that's speaking from heaven. And we can have ears to hear Him who is speaking from heaven. There are all kinds of clamoring messages that are sent out into the world, but there's only one message that gives life. There's only one message that gives eternal life, and that's Him who is speaking from heaven. So, brethren, I want to provoke your senses to be exercised. The Word of God develops, grows up the senses. We don't have to always be wondering. We don't have to always be without understanding. I'm not accusing anyone. You understand what I'm saying. There's a liability in not understanding. When the Word of God is sown and it's not understood, guess what happens? The enemy comes and takes it away. If it's sown and it's on the hard ground, the enemy comes. I don't want it taken away. I want my senses to be exercised so when the Word of God comes, I can keep it. When the Word of God comes, I can receive it. When the Word of God comes, I can understand it. When God speaks, we want to hear. And we want to understand. Amen.
Praise God.
View of what we just heard, I give you this exhortation based on the scriptures. He that hath an ear, let him hear.
Amen.
Let him hear. Because we've seen taking in the words of Jesus actually will aid in spiritual growth and maturity. Now everything I've heard today testifies of this. I'll even start with tonight. You saw Brother Evan get up here. You know what? That's a man who's been hearing. You could tell he's heard something. And everyone who's spoken today, the test that shows you, that sounds like someone who's been at the feet of Jesus listening. Amen. Someone who's hearing it. Because you know, you sit at the feet of Jesus, you're going to get something. And you're going to get something to share. And so they got something. So they gave you what they had. It testifies where they've been at, who they've been hearing. So you got the ears, listen. You're going to have something as a result of that. You don't hear in vain. You don't hear in vain. It's a good reminder that God speaks. And that He still speaks. The speaker has not been shut off. That's why we're still speaking today. That's why we come here and we speak, because God's still speaking. He's still revealing. He's still illuminating. He's still showing. He's still opening something up, and He's using us all to spread this and increase us. Now, Cole, I'll give thanks for what Sister Michelle said today too, because she can testify. She's a fellow testifier, you could say, that this is valid. That God teaches in all aspects of life. He does something I had to be delivered from. Do not limit your hearing. You understand what I'm thinking here? Not limit your hearing to a spiritual environment. Every aspect of life, God's teaching you something. If you just limit yourself to when you're in church mode, you're going to miss a lot. When I'm going stop to stop at work, God's still teaching.
Amen.
You're sitting at the table eating your breakfast, He's teaching. You're going about your just daily whatever you do throughout your day, He's teaching it.
Amen.
All of those things. Everything. And so like when you're really focused on that God's always teaching, He's always showing something, well, I'll tell you what, you'll increase a lot faster when you're aware of that.
Amen.
Rather than, all right, we're going to church tonight. Now I'm going to put my spiritual ears on and now I'm going to get ready to listen. You know, like, no, those ears are on all the time. I'm hearing things with those ears that He's given me all the time. That's the kind of God we serve. He's always increasing. He's always giving. So I want to encourage you with that. To always be always be hearing what the Lord is saying. Now another exhortation I'll give you is just it's simple words. Grow up. And we need to hear it. We do. Because I think we all agree here. The body's designed to advance together. Despite not all being on the same level, understand, we all advance together. Like after the message tonight, it shouldn't be just half of us have increased and we're all still here kind of, well, we'll catch up and then we're kind of like always in catch up. No, we all have increased together.
Amen.
May not be on the same level, but we did all increase in some way as a result of what we've heard tonight. Amen. If you've heard, you did increase. You did. If you've heard. And so I will say this, that I'm not going to give out a list here, but I think we agree there's some topics the body of Christ needs to move on from.
Yeah.
It does need to be said. None of us anywhere should be struggling with the same subjects year after year. We shouldn't. I'm speaking for myself on that too. It's time to advance. What Brother Aaron said made me hungry for meat. Not for milk. I'm ready for meat. I want to advance. So it's like it's actually like encouraged me, like, all right, time to get out of this stuff. Let's like make some real advancement here. That's what that did for me. I'm exhorting you to do the same. Make us all right, time to move on. That's what we have here at the beginning of Romans 6. Time to move on to perfection. Let's move on. Let's just get off the basic things. Let's get in deeper. Let's move on. I'm ready for that. And I'm call the brethren to grow of all things that are hindering them from making that same advancement. I'm going to do it. I'm inviting you to do that with me. Let's do it together. Advance. But help each other grow with what you share. See, I'm not going to just stand by and wait for people to catch up. All right, I'm up here. Come on, hurry up. You know, people didn't do this with me. People ahead of me didn't do this. They actually helped me grow up.
Amen.
I am actually a testimony of what their ministry has done. And so I want to have that same kind of effect on others too. I want us to resolve ourselves to help each other grow with whatever we share. That to have that mindset. When I share, the brethren have increased together. Well, think of it this way. Did you always see everything right? Well, I'm just asking an honest question. When you came into Christ, did you see everything just correct off the bat? Nothing's changed? You didn't have to grow out of anything? Well, as much as people bring up Romans 14, it's true. You were that person that was weak in the faith at one point. It's true. You had to grow up at some point. And the Lord was forbearing, the brethren were forbearing, and some actually helped you with words, said, oh, that's what that is. They helped you. They didn't discourage you. They didn't make it. They didn't pound you and say, oh, come on. We shouldn't still be talking about this. Like, come on, get out of this. You know, that's not a good approach. Speak it. Speak the truth and grow them out of it. Because I'm listening. I'm listening. And because I'm listening, if you say something that's actually going to help me in that area, I'm going to catch it. I'm going to get it because I'm ready for it. And I know you're ready for that too. And so that helps me in my own preparations. The thing, like, okay, right, they're hungry for growth. They want to increase. So, well, I want to give it to them. Give me the words, Lord, to give them that. So I invite you now to increase us with your comments that increase me. Because, I mean, if God gave it to you, I need it. That's the mindset you should have. If God gave it to you, I need it.
Amen.
And if God gave it to you, I want it. So I invite you now. I exhort you. Add to us now with what you've been given. Increase us. I'm going to take everything in. Go ahead. What did you get? Brother Jeremy.
This, he said, our senses are life and death. And throughout this, he developed this, our senses. This is a, we are in together. We're working together. So as each one of us, our senses get refined, we bless the brother. But, you know, you don't go around not using your senses, or else you are going to. This is dangerous, you know, in the world. I mean, I don't keep my eyes closed when I'm driving down the road. I could hurt somebody really bad. So I use all my senses, my hearing. My...
That's right.
Well, in the spirit, we do the same thing. If we become dull, this is where we get in trouble. This is where we fall into trouble. And so we don't want to do that. We want to stay away from those things that make us dull. It's an increase in the things that will help us, you know, being around brother will help our senses increase. You know, reading the scripture, you know, these things, we know what these things are, but this is a day, it's not just like, well, you know, you can't tell, this is dangerous if we allow ourselves to become dull. So I was very thankful for this message. It's very needful for the brethren, you know, as we continue to grow, to see how important it is to keep our senses on high alert and ready to be received from God and be sharpened and increased and surround ourselves with people who will help our senses be refined.
Good. Good word. Surrounding yourself. Good word. Aaliyah.
If our hearing, seeing, and thinking are exercised, we can hear the voice of Christ even if it is still and small.
Yes.
If our senses are exercised, we're going to benefit more than when our senses are dull.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Sister Barr?
Yeah, I was thinking about Peter and watching his conversation, the Lord's dealing with him. We see his senses being trained as time goes on. There was just a few examples. Whenever he confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus said, "My Father revealed this to you."
Yeah.
Then we know that he denied Christ on the night of his crucifixion, but Jesus looked at him. That was a training of his senses, and he was delivered. He was converted so he could strengthen his brethren. Whenever they were in the boat fishing, and Jesus had raised from the dead, and Jesus was on the shore, John said, "It's the Lord."
Amen.
Another time that Peter's senses were trained. And then on the day of Pentecost, Peter was the one that rose up and said, "This is that the prophet spoke of. This is the Lord."
Amen.
This is a picture of those senses being trained.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Brother Matthew.
Yeah, it's not a direct quote, but what Brother Aaron said, the senses are not present only to detect, but for reaction. And you can see this in the flesh, that nobody picks up a hot coal in their hand and says, well, it's really hot, and holds on to it. You know, as soon as you feel that, you have this automatic repulsion towards it. Your senses have taught you that that's, you know, you let go of that. And it chooses you, or it teaches you what to choose and what to tolerate and what to shun. You know, nobody takes a bite of rotten food and says, "Well, that tastes disgusting," and swallows it. You know, I mean, that's the reason why the senses are there.
Amen. It's
so that you can react. It's something that can only be learned by your senses being exercised. I was reminded of a time when Eli was younger, and I would always make my coffee, and I would tell him, "Don't touch that. It's hot. It's hot. Don't touch it." And he learned the lesson the hard way by touching it and being burned. And he never did it again. And the reason why is because his senses were exercised. And I also was provoked by this word that Brother Aaron said about Samuel's situation with Eli's instruction to him. As I can see that there have been times in the past where the Lord was like, the Lord was speaking to me. The Lord was saying something to me in my life. And it was actually revealed to me that it was the Lord by something that the brethren had said. And so I was provoked to be more excellent in this, and on both aspects of this, to be quicker, to have our senses exercised, to be able to be sensitive to when the Lord is speaking with us, and also to be able to be more excellent in it, to maybe help a brother who is not as exercised, to be able to wreck their way, to say, "This is the Lord."
Amen.
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 Man, we mustn't let earthly things grow so large in our life that they clog up our senses.
Yeah.
Take the Pharisees, they knew the law through and through, but when Jesus came, they didn't see him because they were letting their own fame and the glory and the power they were getting, they didn't want Jesus coming up there and taking that from them. They were letting their senses be clogged by the things of this world.
Yeah.
And we have to cut off the things that are preventing our senses.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Good word. What's that?
Amen. Whenever Brother Aaron was talking about how the strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, and I was thinking about this, that it's full age is not some unachievable goal.
Yes.
And it's not something that's really far away up in the future that we have to wait a really long time to get. This is something about maturity, and the Lord will help us all to grow up.
Yes.
And this also is not a limit. Whenever you're a full age, you can get the meat, and then you're done. That you got all there is.
That's right, yeah.
You keep going,
That's right.
You keep exercising your senses, and the Lord will continue to bless you.
Amen.
Surely.
The more we partake of Jesus' word, the quicker we grow in faith. So we need to keep our ears open to God so that we can grow in Him and not stay as babies in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we are babies in Christ, we want to grow more and more in Him, so that we can stay stable in Him and avoid the things of this world that try to pull us from God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Mr. Heaven?
Whenever you don't use your senses, it's like closing your eyes on a mountain trail that has no rails.
Yeah,
you can just make one wrong turn and fall to your death.
Yeah.
Good example. These are critical things, yeah, for Robert.
Yes. I was thinking of that. I really enjoyed this whole message, by the way.
Amen.
This matter about these senses. Now, when we were baptized, God put us in Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And He's given us to be born again. He did an operation in our heart, right?
Amen. Amen.
And He gave us a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Yes.
Now, within this new man, there is a superhuman set of senses. This new man can interface with Jesus,
yeah.
Right?
Amen.
They're of the same spirit.
Amen.
So you can, as you walk in the spirit, things you are alerted to things that only those who walk in the spirit can be, right?
Amen.
You can taste and see that the Lord is good. Brother Aaron mentioned some of these, but these are so edifying. You can hear Him who's speaking from heaven. You couldn't do that before, but you can now because you're walking with Christ. You're living with Him. And we can look to the Lamb of God, right? We can see Him who is invisible. These are impossible in the flesh, but not in the spirit.
Amen.
We can do this. We can draw near and rightly handle the Word of God, right? Mm-hmm. Why? Because He's given us the ability. These abilities, they far outstretch the old man. The old man couldn't ever achieve these things. But we can now. We can smell the sweet incense of truth and righteousness and joy in the Holy Spirit and the comfort that comes. All these things are available because He's made us new.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for these words.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
For the day.
Amen.
I was thinking of a cartoon I saw once where a man was in New York City with his jacket full of watches, selling watches, and he had a Rolex for like $15, and the guy said, "Is Rolex really supposed to be spelled with two X's?" There's a point to that. If a person does not exercise their senses to discern good and evil, they're in danger of being deceived,
yes,
and mistaking evil for good. They're in danger of not being able to hear for the Lord. They're in danger of eventually having ears that don't hear and eyes that don't see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're in danger of being defrauded by not being able to tell the difference between false and true.
Amen.
And I really like what Brother Aaron had to say about the marketplace that is out there in the world is selling husks of corn and passing it off as nutritious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I like what he also has to say about Nehemiah. The church needs more people who are like cupbearers who warn people not to eat or drink things that could be dangerous. Mm-hmm. A really good message.
Amen.
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 Brother Justin.
I was having a conversation with Brother Given once about something that happened at work. And as I was talking to him, I said, and the Lord said to me, and he stopped me, he said, "How do you know that the Lord said that to you?" And I remember that there's a lot of voices that we hear throughout the day. There's the voice of the enemy. There's the voice of the flesh. There's the voice of God. And there's the voice of the Spirit. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about having our senses exercised to discern who's speaking to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Arnold mentioned that still small voice. I may be wrong. I think that's used once in the Bible, and the only place it's used is when Elijah was on the mountain, Mount Sinai, in Kings, the account in Kings there. And a lot of the church or religion is of the persuasion that God speaks to us in a still small voice. Well, He doesn't. When the Lord sent Christ into the world, His voice was magnified to the extent that it's throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere. When we're listening and we're hearing the Lord speaking, His voice is drowning out all competing influences and all distractions in the world.
Yes.
It's time to get over this still small voice. It had a real purpose, I believe, in Elijah's situation.
Yeah.
But I think when Christ came into the world, a lot of things changed about the way the world is hearing the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, my sheep hear my voice.
Yeah, well, let's say be still and know.
Be still and know.
So there is, that's an intensely personal thing, but, yeah.
Yeah, I received that word, and that comparison is valid, that the new covenant is a greater covenant. It's a greater light. And the way in which I use that is that you have to have senses in order to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Without it, then you don't, people don't hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Amen. Yes, I wanted to distinguish between foundational things and elementary things. Yeah. Elementary things are what you do. Mm-hmm. Foundational things are what God does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
And you don't stop here in foundational things, see, because right. That's what you build on.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Right. But whenever there's an emphasis on what you do, that's elementary.
Mm.
And you've got to come to the point where you don't always have to be told what to do.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And just for my sake, I think I used that word, didn't I? I said foundation. Okay.
Yes. Well, I know you didn't mean it, but...
Well, I mean, I need to hear that, though.
Yeah, important to... Let that know, because all the things that are mentioned there in Hebrews 6, they're all what you will lead.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Sister Deb.
Amen.
About this point about not to talk to the enemy is pretty timely for today. I mean, there's a lot of talk about all-inclusiveness, including people, not to offend, you know. And I think we have to be able to have discernment to single out the ones that just need to be brought along, or to know more about the Lord, but also discern the ones who are really against Him, you know, and really are enemies, because we can be damaged and brought down by them. So,
right.
So it's like I say, it's kind of a current thing that's going on in the churches now, and so I have to be aware of Satan's devices in that realm.
Can I ask you a question regarding that? Have you seen an increase in tension among men these days? That's because they're being inclusive.
Yeah.
They're just jumbling things together that can't get along. That's the problem. Yeah, so yeah, as far as like the spiritual things go, then these things cannot mesh. It's going to result in strife, whether it says.
I was also thankful that in this verse, it is distinguished that we can, with exercise senses, we can discern good and evil.
Yes.
There are some things in the world that tells you the opposite.
Yeah.
They say, if it looks like this, then don't do it. And it doesn't tell you the right thing. Other times, it tells you only do this, and it doesn't tell you the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a benefit in both of those, but we have both of them. God has given us senses that can discern good and evil, so we can have confidence in knowing that this thing is right, because we know both.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, mm-hmm. Good word.
And there's this principle all through Scripture that whatever God gives has to be used.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen.
If you're a steward, you got to use what you're given. See?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where these senses come in. Wherever a person stumbles, or there's division or disruption, somebody didn't discern.
Yes.
Maybe everybody didn't discern, but did that the lack of discernment.
Amen.
Senses exercised to discern. This is ahead of time.
Yeah.
You see it coming, in other words.
Yeah.
And whether it's a blessing or a curse, sometimes you can sense there's a blessing on the way. You can sense it being developed. And other times you can sense that the devil's trying to sneak in here. He's trying to intrude.
Mm-hmm.
Your senses are exercised, which means this is walking into the Spirit and living by faith. That's how you exercise.
Right.
You exercise these by living by faith and walking in the Spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Robert.
Yes, those who are walking in the Spirit, those who are following after, they still need this exhortation. That you refuse not him that speaketh.
That's right.
For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that's speaking from heaven?
Yeah.
Jesus is not on the earth anymore. Now, you know, Moses, remember, he's making a reference to them not listening to Moses. And boy, what a talk about a stern penalty. The earth opened up and swallowed some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they didn't listen. They didn't take heed. This was God's messenger. Now God situated his message, his one that's speaking is in heaven, at God's own right hand. Now if God would treat those in the past with such severity, what do you think he's going to do today?
That's
the people
right.
who don't listen to his son. Now, so he's given us everything that we need. He's given us all the senses. We can hear him, if we will, who's speaking from heaven. Well, now there's a certain liability that comes along with hearing Jesus speak.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus speaks, he does expect a response. Yeah, Not only does he expect it, see, this is something we all are going to have a response. Yeah. So what if he gives you a word like repent? Well, what needs to happen? Do we need to argue with? No, we just need to repent.
Yeah.
That's all. Just repent. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if when he shows, you know, and I'm learning this. You know, you say, well, you don't ever stop learning this.
Yeah.
That the Lord, he has your best interest at heart. So if he leads you to see this is not right, then don't do it anymore. Just don't. You know, whatever it is. But this is intensely personal. And at the same time, it's corporate. You come to this mountain that can be touched. He is there to help us. So I thank God that he's put us in a body where we have all these perspectives. Where did they come from? They came from Jesus. See, and as you put them all together and you say, you know, you can grow them. Because we've been called up. And I just thank God for that.
Amen.
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 Whenever you're a cupbearer, it's your job to make sure that the king's food and drink will not kill him.
That's right. That's right.
So, if you don't do that, you'll probably be put to death because the king might die.
Sure, of course, mm-hmm. Sir.
Yeah. You remember there when Paul had that vision? Man in Macedonia said, come over and help us. And
yes.
Paul's the only one that heard that.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the others had that when he told it, they joined, their senses were exercised. God's calling us to go to.
Uh-huh.
He didn't think that man over there asked us to come. He said, God is sending us there.
Amen. Yes.
He was hearing.
His senses were exercised. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. Well, thank you, brother, for increasing one another, increasing me.
Amen.
I believe, Brother James, you have the meditation. I'm looking forward to that. But let's have a song before he comes up.